I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, good morning. Vince Colonnais alongside Amber Athey this morning in for the vacationing Mary Walter. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning.
Nice to have you, and nice to also have Larry Kudlow. He's the CNBC senior contributor and host of The Larry Kudlow Show on WMAL. That's on Saturdays at 7 p.m. He's also the author of JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret History of American Prosperity. Larry, good morning, sir.
Morning. Good morning.
All right, so I know one of the topics of your concentration today is the fact that the Fed chairman is en route to Capitol Hill. He has a testimony that starts at 10 a.m. before the House Financial Services Committee. What could Congress find out from the Fed chairman?
Yeah, well, this is the new Fed chairman, Jay Powell. So we haven't seen him before with these reports. He gives two formal reports. He'll go to the Senate, I guess, tomorrow. And it's going to be very interesting to, you know, look for hints about interest rate policy. Might the Fed move faster, stronger, or might they maybe move less quickly? Is there inflation in the air or not? Is growth, does growth cause inflation? I don't think so, by the way. I don't think there's any inflation out there. My own view is the Fed ought to go slowly. Let the supply side tax cuts on business work and let productivity rise. Don't be afraid of wage increases. The workforce hasn't really had wage hikes, I don't know, since the year 2000, basically. So we'll all look for clues on what the new chairman tells us.
Is that what this is like? I mean, do these members of Congress basically do the same thing as the rest of us when it comes to the Fed chairman, try and just find clues about the future of the interest rates?
Some questioners are better than others. That's all. Some know a lot, some know a little, some know none.
Right.
And they'll try to. You know, Powell's been around a while, so even though he's never been in this job, he should be pretty good at getting some messages across. And, you know, if congressmen come at him, he'll be pretty good at deflecting that. That's my hunch. But we don't really know much about his biases and his leanings. And, you know, let's say the economy is growing at 3 rather than 2. Well, some people think that's going to cause inflation because the economy doesn't have that capacity to grow. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that. I think the economy is expanding, and it's creating new capacity and productivity and wages, and I think that's great. And I do not think more people working causes inflation. A lot of Fed board people, a lot of senior staff believe it does. So we'll be looking for clues on that. The other thing going on is a big protection battle inside the White House.
That's
unbelievable,
right?
Battles, like the Battle of Gettysburg, hand-to-hand combat.
That bad. So who are the parties in this fight?
Well, you got the. This is mostly over steel tariffs, right?
Right.
And the free traders, Kevin Hassett, he's the CEA chairman. Gary Cohn, National Economic Director, and Steve Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary. Those are the white hats, the good guys. On the other side, you've got Peter Navarro. He's the, Trade Policy Council. Mm-hmm. Wilbur Ross, Commerce Secretary, who used to own a lot of steel companies. And Robert Lighthizer, who's a lawyer, the special trade rep. And he's a longtime protectionist. And I'll just weigh in quickly. They presented the president with one option of a 24% global tariff on steel imports. And that's going to be a killer for the economy. I mean, it's going to jack up steel prices everywhere. It's going to damage consumers. It's going to damage steel users, not steel producers, but steel users. Mm-hmm. So let's say if you want to go out and buy a car, a lot of steel in your car, you're going to pay a much higher price. And that's not good. And it'll probably invite retaliation. But the president himself has not made a decision, and you've got these two sides locked in this this battle.
Well, the guys who support these tariffs argue oftentimes that China is dumping tons of steel into the U.S. economy in order to suppress steel prices and harm our own domestic steel market. Do you buy that?
No, I never do. These are world... I mean, China... Look, China may or may not, but the laws of supply and demand work. So if China produces a glut of steel, let's say, then, yeah, prices are going to go down. Mm-hmm. If South Korea or Canada does likewise. Now, this idea of dumping is something I've never understood and I've never bought into. Mm-hmm. These are world market prices. If the demand for steel is down, let prices fall. By the way, what's wrong with falling prices? Would you, as a consumer, would you like higher or lower prices?
Right. Lower every time.
I mean, the steel companies have a way. They've gotten protection many, many times before. And then they always come back for more, and they always use the same argument. Although there's a new wrinkle on this one now, national security, that if we're in an all-out war, we won't have enough, our steel industry won't supply enough steel. That's just utter nonsense. We're nowhere near capacity. We buy American steel. The Defense Department always buys American steel. And anyway, if we're in an all-out war, do you think Canada will not sell us steel?
Right. Well, I think it was last year, there was some reporting that suggested President Trump was saying, get me some tariffs, get me tariffs in a meeting. And so which way do you think that domino is tilting at this point? Is he going to put tariffs down?
That's a big question. That's a good question. I mean, that really is the center of it. You know, during the campaign, I had many discussions with him on that. And since then, we've talked about it. And he's been moderate so far, in the sense that his bark has been bigger than his bite. But on this one, we just don't know, because the ideas, the bullet points submitted to him, he's talking even tougher. I mean, the Commerce Department submitted some options to him, and he's actually talking tougher. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this goes to the NAFTA problem, right, where Canada and Mexico are both steel producers. So if we slap huge tariffs on their steel, what's that going to do to the NAFTA negotiations, which are frankly much, much more important than steel?
Right.
And I this is a tough one. And the economy can react, business will react, and the stock market will react to the final decision. If the president takes a moderate approach, good. If he takes a hardline approach with high tariffs, not good.
I mean,
I love him on tax cuts. Don't get me wrong. I love him on deregulation. Terrific stuff. I love him on opening up pipelines. Terrific stuff. The economy is growing because of his new policies. The war against business is over. But the war against trade, you know, free trade is very important to the world economy.
There's a lot of big economic questions baked into this. Glad you're following them for us each week, Larry Kudlow. Really nice to talk to you again, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. 8:45 now on WMAL.